In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us assess the world today without a Savior. From the moral point of view, we see the abandonment of moral principles which reflect even the moral law. The natural law. So we see the abandonment not only of things commanded by God and things that pertain to the observance of special rules of religion, but we see the abandonment of the natural law. We also see the loss of customs and attitudes which were left over from the Christian era. Already for 250 years, Christ has been removed from society. But for these 250 years, there has been an extension of Christian custom, Christian thinking, so that people would refrain from doing certain things just by custom. For example, the observance of Sunday. If any of you are in your 60s or 70s, you remember that Sunday was a day in which nothing was done. But those things are gone now. From the point of view of chastity and purity, we see an immorality which is indescribable, whether it be women's dress, whether it be movies, whether it be television, literature, internet, anything, you mention it, the customs of people, what they talk about, what they think about. We see, even worse than that, a general irreligion, lack of religion, even the repudiation of the very notion of religion. We see the general acceptance of abortion, which is the killing of little babies. We are, come this January, into 32 years of abortion. 40 million babies killed. And there has not been a single, or very little, bit of progress to stem the tide of this thing. And there is a general complacency, certainly not among us, but among the population, a complacency, so that someone could get away with saying, I'm against abortion, personally, because I'm a Roman Catholic. But I cannot impose my views upon the Constitution of the United States. Someone can get away with saying that and still be a popular person, still be considered a legitimate Roman Catholic. Or someone else can say, I will not make anti-abortion a litmus test of the appointment of federal judges. He can get away with that and still be considered a soldier in the war against abortion. And that shows a general acceptance of this evil crime. We see a general lack of respect for authority. The hippies of the 1960s have grown up, and they no more respect authority or are willing to obey it than they were in the 1960s. And they bear children, and they teach them to disrespect authority and to be disobedient. We see a general failure to observe the basic demands of justice in business dealings. And time after time, you read in the newspaper or you hear in some form of the media of some big scandal of people who have been immoral, who have lied, who have cheated. And you know, even from hiring people to do things in your home, the amount of cheating and dishonesty that there is in the world today. Let us look at the world from the social point of view. There is the repudiation, since the 18th century, of the very idea that Christ the Savior should have anything to do with society. That is why that statement that I cannot impose my religion on the Constitution is so acceptable. If you had said that 300 years ago, you would have been considered an apostate for saying such a thing, for stripping from Christ his rights in society. But today it's a very acceptable thing. As a matter of fact, if you said, "I think that the laws of Christ should be imposed upon society, and that the laws of Christ should be the law of the land," you would be considered a political or social heretic. And where has this idea been given impetus? By Vatican II, the Declaration on Religious Liberty, that people have a civil right to profess whatever religion they please. That all comes from that. We see in the past 200 years the rise of socialism and liberalism. Socialism, because Christ has been removed from society and you have reduced society to a mob of people. And liberalism, because the rule of Christ has been taken away from society and people feel that they have the right to do whatever they please. And in many parts of the world, we see communism, which is not dead. Ask the over 1 billion people that live in China whether communism is dead. We see the rise in the past 30 or 40 years of women's liberation, which has destroyed the family, which has perverted the role of women and the role of men and the role of children, perverted, turned it upside down. We have seen the rise of adultery and divorce in a dramatic way, and the acceptance of adultery and divorce and remarriage by so-called decent people. We have seen the gradual decline of the institution of marriage by the acceptance of fornication, living together, and of extramarital affairs. Look at the church. Let us assess the condition of the church. In the 11th century, the church received the terrible blow of the schism of the Greek schismatics. In the 16th century, the church received the terrible blow of the Reformation, Protestantism. But in the 20th century, the church received the worst blow of all. And that is to have the poison of heresy come from within the ranks of its own clergy. And so that not a certain portion is poisoned only, not only a portion of the church breaks away, but practically the whole church is infected. There is perhaps 1% of those who wear the label of Roman Catholic in the world, 1% that's hold to the faith the way it was taught and practiced before the council. 1%. And that's a generous figure. 1% who would say there's something deeply wrong in the church. The rest have gone the way of ecumenism, ecumenism which eats at the very fiber of the Catholic faith, which destroys the very motive of Christ's coming into the world, which he tells us in today's gospel, "For this came I into the world, to witness unto the truth." Ecumenism destroys the very notion of Catholic dogma, that there is a single truth, that there is a single Catholic Church, that there is a single Church of Christ, outside of which there is no salvation, outside of which there is only false religion, outside of which there is only means of damnation. Ecumenism destroys that. It destroys the mind's ability to adhere to anything as a fixed truth. All religions have a certain value. All religions are just different roads to God. That horrid poison has infected the minds of 99% of those who bear the name Catholic. And that is our situation as we look around today. And now let us look at what is being done to stem the tide. In the political and social order, in the past 50 years, say, has there been a single victory of what we might call conservatives? Has anyone been able to claim a single victory, a victory, a long-lasting turning of the tide of liberalism, of this degradation of society and of the political order? The answer to that question is a clear no. And the reason why it's no, the reason why every day the forces of liberalism and socialism have their victory and move ahead on the front, the reason why that's true is because conservatives are confused and weak. They don't understand with what they must fight this force of liberalism and socialism and everything else that is destroying the fabric of our society. They don't understand. They are like people who throw rocks at tanks. The tank of liberalism and socialism is a superior force, far superior force, in the face of what conservatives are throwing against it. What should conservatives throw against this tank of the destruction of society? They should put up against it Christ the Savior. For that is the only force that is equal to and superior to the force of fallen nature, which is the drive behind liberalism and socialism. With the abandonment of the Savior in society, these forces in our world eat and destroy our once Christian world every day. They push and push and push. And what is thrown up against them, like, "Well, we never did that before," or "That is not the traditional definition of marriage," those kind of arguments, what is thrown up against them is useless. What must be thrown up against them is the reign of Christ in society, and until the conservative world understands that, it is going to lose every battle and it is going to lose the war. Look at the church. Look at that 1%. Most of that 1% thinks that the solution to the problem in the church, the solution, of preserving the faith is to enter into a compromise with those who have destroyed the faith. To have a coexistence. To be side by side with them. And no matter how many times you tell them, that is doomed to failure. That is to compromise with the devil. They put up a deaf ear and they continue on their way. And so when you consider the state of the world and the state of those who are trying to stop the corruption of the world, it is a black, black picture. Those who are trying to stem the tide are confused, disorganized, many times fighting amongst themselves. It is a hopeless situation. The forces of liberalism, the forces of corruption are organized and unified. And they have on their side all of the inclinations of fallen human nature, which are very strong. And so, from the human point of view, there is no hope. This is a world sinking just like a hippopotamus in quicksand. There is no hope. It is going to fall to the bottom just like a rock in the ocean. There is no power that we are putting up against these forces that is adequate to overcome them. The only thing that we can do is to put up against these forces the rule of the Savior. Only the Savior can save the world. And the rule of the Savior is the Catholic faith, first of all, because he has come to witness unto the truth. And without adherence to the truth, anything else we do is pure nonsense and a waste of time. It is very possible that the Savior will not intervene in human affairs again until he comes to judge the living and the dead. It is quite possible. He said when he appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that this is the last chance for humanity. We may have seen already our last chance. And we might be very possibly, even probably, entering into the time of the preparation of the Antichrist. We might be all in the vestibule of his church, so to speak. Society waiting for the reign of someone horrid. The personification of irreligion and of impurity. It's quite possible, even probable. And it's quite possible and even probable, therefore, that the only help which we will receive from God is the help of survival. Look at you. Look at how few you are in this great archdiocese. You are surviving by the grace of God, the torrent of the immorality and corruption. And that may be the only thing that we will be given in the future. And I say to you, and especially to the young people, we must see ourselves in this survival mode. We cannot make friends with this saviorless, godless world, but rather we must see ourselves as if in a wilderness filled with wild beasts who would devour us except for the strength that is given to us by the grace. If you make friends with the saviorless, godless world, you will go to hell with it, for it is doomed to hell. The young people will live in a world far different from our own and far more corrupt than our own. And they will need more grace and more help
more discipline, more mortification in order to survive. And parents and grandparents must strive as much as they can to give them the means to survive. And so we are on our knees today before our Savior and King. We will carry him around. We will all be on our knees before our Savior and King and beg him to come and rule us. And in order to beg him with sincerity and without hypocrisy, we must first accept his rule in our souls and hearts. Otherwise, we are a part of this apostasy and disobedience which we lament outside of the walls of this church. And we must impose his rule, his law, in our families and in those who are subject to us, for by its very nature, the authority of Christ is public and universal. And we must pray for the world that somehow it receive upon its neck the yoke of Christ, that somehow it be converted to God and converted away from this path of destruction that it is on. But we must also pray that if this world refuses to be subjugated, that Christ come then in power and in majesty and judge this world with a terrible justice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.